Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, through her childhood experiences, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Now, one important thing about studying the whole broad field that some call the paranormal is that eventually you come to understand that, of course, all of it is simply normal. It's either normal or it's not happening at all, in which case you've got to stop believing your lying eyes. Of course it's happening, and of course it's normal. We are in the process of needing to figure out what's going on. And this weekly time that we spend together is called Seek Reality, because that's what all of us should be doing. Since science has abandoned the open-minded search for the truth, and we'll be talking about that sad fact today, and we'll talk about it again in a couple of weeks. But since science has abandoned us, it's up to each of us to do our own investigations and figure out what reality is and how it works and who and what we actually are. Anyone who conducts these investigations with even a half-open mind soon realizes that what we're dealing with here is a whole new physics, and one that is entirely based in consciousness. This new physics encompasses all the areas that used to be called the paranormal. It's what some call metaphysics, which is a term our guest today defines as the study of the true nature of reality, the unseen part of the universe. And I love that description. I might want to refine it a little, though, because for me, metaphysics is the study of the true nature of all of reality. Some of what we're studying is visible to the naked eye, some is not, but it really is all one seamless reality. Our guest today is Rich Haas. He's a metaphysicist, if you will, or perhaps he's a metaphysician. His brand new book is called Sacred Quantum Metaphysics, and it is the best summary for lay people that I've seen yet of the glorious new science that's going to dominate the second half of this century. Welcome, Rich. I'm thrilled that you're here.
Hi, Roberta. It's good to talk to you in person.
Finally, we've been emailing quite a bit. I love your book. What I love about it is that, I mean, I talk about this a lot, but I've not delved into it as much as you have. And so you give me a book I can hand to people, and because a lot of people are sort of smart, you know, they really want to see the evidence. They want to see the basis for the things we say, and your book gives them that. But I'd like to begin by talking about your background, because nobody, very few people working in this field have a scientific background. Yours, I think, is somewhat scientific, but I know you went far beyond what your credentials would suggest. So tell us briefly, how did you get involved in this?
You know, I've been helping people with hypnosis and hypnotherapy for probably better part of four decades, and it's evolved into different things. I actually studied with Dr. Newton, who wrote Journey of Souls, and he did some amazing research around the between life world, and I've been helping clients do that for many years now. And you know, I just branched out into that stack of books that most of us have that we're going to get to someday.
Yes,
and I actually got to mine.
Yeah, that's good. So thank you on behalf of all of us. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
So you started as someone who was a hypnotist, and you were doing hypnotherapy. And for those who don't know, Michael Newton wrote Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, which are wonderful explorations of the between lives that we all have from the viewpoint, I believe, of the higher self rather than from the viewpoint of the person who just died. I recommend that people read them after they have a basic grounding in some of this, because otherwise they're a little bit scary. People are spots of light and a little bit scary, but wonderful, as you say, all the same. And for people who are interested in a better understanding of what's going on, you can't do better than read those books. So you were regressing people to that period between lives?
Yes, and it's almost like if people have heard of near-death experiences, it's almost like having a near-death experience but not having to almost die to get there. So
that would be good.
The other side, and you get all this fabulous information about why we picked our family and what our purpose in life is and what we'd like to accomplish and what challenges we take on as we come into this world. It's very comforting and wonderful information.
I think it's probably the kind of thing, I get that kind of information from my spirit guides, and I'm sure they must be involved in what you do too, right? Are you talking with their
guides? Absolutely. You can't be in this part of the world without having a strong connection to spirit.
So then you got interested in reading that shelf of books. And tell us about that. Did you start saying, sort of having eureka moments and saying, oh my goodness, this fits with this other thing, and look, suddenly this makes sense? I mean, what was that experience like for you?
Well, that's exactly what it was. I got some books on quantum mechanics that I've always heard about, and as I was looking through that, there's The Observer, and I said, this is exactly what metaphysicians have talked about for thousands of years, that there's an observer behind our chatter, our consciousness, the monkey mind, if you're familiar with the meditation term. And
sure.
Then I'd go into string theory and realize that they're talking about the vibrational universe. Most of your listeners have heard people talk about raising or lowering your vibrations. Well, string theory confirmed that. They found...
Really? So you actually studied...
dimensions that are...
You studied... I just need to get this straight. You studied string theory? You did? Really?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I wanted to understand what it was all about, so I'd read through the different things, and, I would look at Einstein and figure out his space-time continuum and how it relates to the astral planes that they've talked about for millennia.
Wow.
So all of a sudden I realized that it's the same concepts, it's just different words and different terms, and that's the point of my book, is to make those connections for people.
Part of there are many things wonderful about your book, and we aren't going to get to even remotely half of it. There's just not enough time. But one of the things I loved was, I am the opposite of a scientist, but you did make those concepts make sense to me. I mean, what does E equals MC squared really mean? What did Einstein discover? Why was it upsetting? I learned a lot about sort of the problems scientists had around the turn of the previous century from you. You make it accessible. It doesn't seem off-putting or as if this is too much to study. And that's wonderful. That's one of the great things about your book.
Well, thank you. I tried very hard to give people the information, but without heavy terminology or jargon or equations. And people do get intimidated by the title of quantum being in the title of the book, and they shouldn't be, because it's very understandable once you get to the basic ingredients of what's behind the science. So people have said that it's very easy to read and very easy to understand, and that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, and there is no math. That's the best part of it for me. The book is Sacred Quantum Metaphysics, and I don't know why you use the word sacred. Where did the title come from?
Well, I wanted to give people the idea that this is ancient wisdom in there that we're rediscovering with our new science, and so I wanted to present it as one word along with quantum, and then tie it all together with the metaphysical. So that's where the title came from, and I don't think it was me. We talked about spirit earlier. I think that came out of spirit, and I'm very grateful because a lot of people have gotten a lot of ideas out of just the title.
I think one of the things we all understand who work in this field is that we aren't really, we're sort of avatars here, aren't we? There are people who don't have bodies who sort of are using us to get their work done. And it's a very wonderful sort of freeing feeling to know that we're not in charge. But no, I'm very impressed with the science you did here because it really is all about science. Even my area of study, my primary area of study has been the afterlife. That is a very serious scientific pursuit, and it leads in so many directions that go far beyond just the narrow concept of where the dead are and what they're up to. But this sort of is the other side of that clamshell, because what you've done is to take the sort of dry scientific part and put it together with what we're learning about the greater reality which we enter at death. It's just a wonderful book. And you call this a science, right? Sacred Quantum Metaphysics is the name of a science.
It's a group of principles where we can actually utilize the metaphysical principles and the new scientific discoveries since Einstein and put it together to make changes into our lives. We've heard stories that have gone back many millennium of people that have changed physical reality. Water into wine, perhaps, is an example. Levitated, changed their body from one place to the other. And how did they do that? And what I've discovered is that there's a lot of these scientific discoveries give us a clue at how somebody way back in centuries ago, perhaps, was able to do these things almost by accident. And now that we understand the science behind it, then we can utilize that much more often and make changes. We've always heard about create reality with your thoughts. Well, how do you actually do that? And that's what the end of the book is 19 concrete steps of how to make changes to the physical universe using your mind and the sciences behind it.
Now, people are wondering, oh, this is hard to imagine. This doesn't make sense. I think we need to sort of fill it in a little bit. I know we can't give all of those principles, but for example, as you know, Jesus changed water into wine. Another thing he said is that if we have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, this is the littlest, bittiest seed there is, we can tell a mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and the mountain will obey us.
Absolutely.
And he
will you do?
Oh,
and
yes.
Part of what I think the promise was is that if we do understand the principles behind it, then we can actually accomplish some of the same things and perhaps even exceed them eventually, mankind in general, that is.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that is the impetus for a lot of people being able to get together and making changes to the physical universe. And if thousands get together and work on it together, we can actually create a new life and a much better world.
We can. My new book, which is The Fun of Growing Forever, and will be out in a few weeks, talks about the same kind of thing, but in much sort of more basic terms, just how to change our own minds to the point where we can create our perfect lives. Rich goes into the science of it, which I think is extremely helpful, especially for people who are science-minded. But how is it, then, that we can... Is there a short way to talk about what these principles are? Just for background, we know that more than 95% of the universe is actually not material, is consciousness-based, entirely consciousness-based. And we've got this screwy little sort of artificial physics in just 4.5% or something of the universe that's based in mathematics. It doesn't make sense that it would be, except that our minds are so powerful that if we didn't have this obstacle of a mathematics-based physics that operates in the material universe, you and I would be going around all day long telling the mountains to go jump in the ocean or, making our homework be done just by thinking of it being done. It sort of makes it a harder a harder task to use our minds to affect reality. But as Rich says, it's not impossible. So what are these basic metaphysical principles, just briefly? Is there a way for you to sort of give us a hint at that so people will think, I better read that book?
There's 24 metaphysical principles in the first part of the book, just to give everybody the basic foundation, because so many things are talked about here and there, but you never get all of it at once. But there's things we've talked about, karma, for thousands of years, and some of the research that's been done actually verifies that, yes, there is a spiritual purpose, and we're here to learn, and we make mistakes, and we learn from those mistakes. Then there's the idea of reincarnation, and there's a wonderful study out of University of Virginia where they actually took a look at the possibility of past lives. Science is beginning to make inroads in here. It's very hard because, like you said, only 5% of the universe, actually it's closer to 4,
yes,
is material. But that's right. The only thing we can measure with science is that 4%.
That's right.
So these very creative people have looked at different ways of analyzing the spiritual world. Somebody we're both very grateful to is Gary Schwartz at University of Arizona.
Right.
He did some fabulous research around proving that consciousness exists after the body dies.
Yes.
Things like,
yes,
that are very, very difficult, but the very creative and innovative scientists are actually doing the work, and that's all documented in the book.
We all have our little prejudices. One of mine is I don't like talking about karma, because karma is a religious term that's common in Eastern religions. And I've asked a number of people who are somewhat expert to explain karma to me, and the explanations they've given me were pretty deeply unsatisfying. But Rich has a section on karma, and he really makes it, I think, a lot more accessible. Why don't you talk about it, Rich? Tell us what you say in the book.
Sure. Well, first of all, there's so much misinformation about the term karma, and like you said, it's kind of balled up into religion. And, you know, the easy way to look at this is it's almost the same thing in the physical universe. We have Newton's third law of equal and opposite reaction. There's the same principle in the spiritual world, where we get an equal and opposite reaction for the good things that we do and the bad things that we do. And that, when I say the word karma, that's what I'm really talking about, is that in some of the research from Dr. Newton and his books that you mentioned, say that when we're on the other side, when we get a life review from kind of a near-death experience, and we get to understand what we've done and how it's reacted to other people. So we learn not only for how it affected us, but how the other people were affected. So
yes,
that's the spiritual connection that I talk about in the book, rather than this religious concept that has so much difficulties connected to it.
So it's not a tit. One of the things I liked about what you said is that it's not a tit for tat thing, because so many people think that this, they say it's balance. You know, if you, eye for eye, tooth for tooth spiritually, if you hurt someone in some way, that in your next lifetime or at some time in this life, you're going to have the same thing done to you. It's like this rather crude balancing is going on spiritually. I haven't seen that in practice as I've studied people's lives. But what you say is it's about learning, right? And
if
and
they
once
learn,
you...
if somebody learns what they've done and why it's harmful and how they've hurt somebody, and they in their hearts are really sorry for it and try not to do it again and all that, and the spiritual universe is not a mechanical system. If you've already learned your lesson, there's no reason to go through and re-experience the same thing. So I agree with you totally. It's not a tit for tat at all. It's just a learning process, and once we learn our lesson from that particular event or circumstance, then unfortunately we get to learn the next one. We're never ever quite done with the learning process, but once we understand the process behind it, we can make it a lot easier on ourselves.
So you say this is a metaphysical equivalent to Newton's third law of physics, which is every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And you talk about the law of reciprocal action that Christians have.
Yes.
So this is something which spiritual students and spiritual teachers, this is a concept that's ancient then, in also in Christianity, in a lot of these religions, right?
Absolutely. And, part of that process is that we're here for a very short time in a particular human body, and when that body dies, our consciousness can leave that body and continue, and there's no reason why it couldn't re-exist into another human body. And actually, when you look at ancient Christian beliefs, in the first three or four centuries of Christianity, reincarnation was a major principle. It wasn't until the Emperor Justinian decreed that it was no longer valid and made it illegal, that it kind of got wedged out of Christianity.
And that's right.
And this is an emperor, not a pope or religious leader at all. It was just somebody who wanted to control a society. So,
it's been around
for thousands of years.
Yes, and it's been a million years since I was in college and majored in early Christian history, but I vividly still remember what it was like to read about the Council of Nicaea in 325 and watch them putting together the Bible, watch how callous they were. It was political. And as you say, one of the things that sort of lost the political battle was whether or not there's reincarnation. Jesus does talk about reincarnation. Christians don't believe in reincarnation just because some clerics in 325 bartered it out of the scriptures.
Absolutely.
Which is
reprehensible. Under the rule of the emperor that happened. There's a place in the Bible, and I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but Christ said to his disciples, who do the people think I am? And they say Moses, Elijah, or one of the prophets, something like that. Well, how could Christ be Moses if there isn't reincarnation? So it's actually still in the New Testament that those references are there. But a lot of people in our Western society kind of think of it as an Eastern religious concept, and if it's Eastern, and we can't believe in it. So,
I should point out too that if you actually read the passage where Jesus talks about needing to be born again, that's about reincarnation too. They cut out most of what Jesus said about reincarnation, but they didn't recognize that was what he was talking about there. But it was.
Absolutely.
It was, and the beauty of it is that now, at last, we are able to verify the truth because we have what the dead are telling us. And the dead make it pretty clear that what the things Jesus said were true, but the things that these religionists said were clearly not true. So that's one of the things I like about Rich's book. He talks about what Jesus talked about as well. And
one other example that I think is just very powerful? Harvard University.
Okay.
And Herbert Benson studied meditation for many decades, and he did a very scientific analysis, and he actually proved that the mind can cure almost every disease, and he also proved that his form of meditation can change somebody's genetics. Now, it doesn't change the DNA, that's solid, but it'll switch on and off different genes, like a cancer gene, it can switch that on. So they're actually making a lot of inroads, and what's disturbing is that our whole medical field tries to eliminate the consciousness out of our medicine. You've heard of the placebo effect, where they actually exclude any influence from the mind as much as possible. So what they're left with is things like surgery and pharmaceuticals instead of consciousness and creating a new kidney or whatever a person might need. It's all there in the science. We just need to get back to it.
Yeah, I'd like to talk more about healing. Bruce Lipton, who is basically a quantum biologist, wonderful, wonderful. His work is extraordinary. He says that energy healing is as much as 100 times more effective than chemical healing. It's just much, much more effective. The problem is, of course, that it's not being used in the traditional medical field. But that's what's so frustrating. Why are we doing it the hard way when there's a much easier way? Talk about it. Talk about healing and how that works when we're using energy.
Certainly. And part of the problem, I think, is that people, when they're in the middle of a crisis, a medical crisis, they question, now, is it real that consciousness can heal me? And that's part of the book, is to lay out all the evidence that is out there, not all of it, certainly it'd be many, many more volumes than that, but the basic ideas, so people can believe for once and for all that consciousness does heal. In the placebo effect, we know everything that they study, about a third to a half of the people are healed just from their mind. So they eliminate those people out of the study so they can concentrate on the pharmaceutical or the surgery or those kind of things. So even some of those are being studied. There was a wonderful study on knee surgery where they did a whole knee replacement. They did a minor surgery thing. They also made an insertion into the knee and then studied, you know, how much pain relief and functionality of the knee after that. And they found out that there was really no difference between the full-on surgery and just making a cut in the skin and so that somebody thought they had surgery.
Now, I've had a knee replacement.
Amazing things are coming out of science now.
I've had a knee replacement. If you're telling me I didn't have to go through all of that, oh, my goodness. Well, I guess I'm not as surprised as I would have been at one point. Why is the mind so powerful in healing us? What is it? And what's the process? If someone's listening and saying, you know, I've got this problem with migraines or I've got this problem with my knee, how do I go about fixing it with my mind?
And we don't have time to go into all the different quotes from Max Planck and the father of quantum physics and Albert Einstein, but in some of your podcasts or your blogs, I'm sorry, you've actually gone into those quotes, and I just encourage people to go back and read what you put in there. But what we know is 96% of the universe is not material, that it's consciousness-based. So there was consciousness beginning before the Big Bang, and there's consciousness going to exist after the universe peters out or explodes, whatever it is that's going to happen to us. And that consciousness is what is actually used to create changes in this world. We know in quantum experiments that small changes are absolutely verified, and changing a particle into a wave or back and forth by consciousness. And if it changes this subatomic area of our world, enough consciousness can change the rest of it. So we know it happens. It's just a matter of concentrating on it, understanding the science behind it. And it's not just quantum, and it's not just Einstein, but it's astrophysics, and it's string theory that you mentioned. And
right.
Some of the metaphysical things of going back and consciousness existing and having a previous lives and what our purpose is, and all those things are all interrelated into a whole. But unless we take a look at every bit of it together, then we lose sight of what the potential is and what we're really supposed to be doing. So my hope is, and this is the optimism, is that once we understand how what Einstein was really saying with this E equals MC squared, and how that interrelates to consciousness. And, you know, people don't even understand how an atomic bomb works. So,
Right.
It's all in there so that people can finally put it all together in one place.
Yeah, the science in the book is really fun because it's so accessible. It makes you feel smart. I love that. We're definitely going to have you back in another month or two. I want to do a segment on The Fun of Growing Forever, which is my book. And then I'd like us to sort of sing a duet, because coming at this from so many different directions, I think, is very helpful to people. Some will resonate better with the way you put it. Some will resonate with the way I put it. And the more ways we can help people understand these truths, the better. But we want to kind of, there's so much more we could talk about. Is there anything in particular you want to make sure people know about your book, people can take away from our discussion?
You know, the main ending of the book is to interrelate the metaphysics and the science. I have a section where we look at, well, what is possible and what have people done in the past and how can we explain it? But the last part of the book is 19 concrete steps where people can actually utilize the metaphysics and the science and put it together to make changes, from simple changes to making their life more happy to changing their environment, more wealth and abundance in their life, to hopefully with enough people getting together, we can actually start changing the universe and making a much better life for everybody. And that's going to take quite a few people working their consciousness together. But Greg Braden in his book said all it'll take is 8,000 people to combine their consciousness. So it's not that much.
I think
that's
that may
the whole point.
That's ambitious, yes. I think it will take more than that. But I say in The Fun of Growing Forever, maybe 10% of the world, that would be still a tiny number of people. Somewhere between Greg's estimate and mine is probably where the truth is. But each person listening to us has the ability to be an important part of making the world work, which it never has done. But we can get rid of wars. We can get rid of every form of hatred and pain. We can literally bring the kingdom of God on earth. That's a promise.
Absolutely.
We have from Jesus. And now it's a promise we have from Rich. This is physics. This doesn't have anything to do with any religion. It's pure physics. And because our minds are so powerful and are part of that eternal mind that continuously brings forth the universe, we can make it happen. You talk also about the...
Sorry.
Go ahead. Finish your thought, then I want to ask you another question.
Well, part of what I see is that our society tells us that we're helpless, we have no power, and we really do have a massive amount of power. Metaphysicians have talked about it for thousands of years. But the society tells us you need a particular politician, say, to give you everything you need.
Right.
You need
right.
a political party to make changes. And as Gandhi said, we can make the changes ourselves from the bottom up. We don't need somebody, this godlike politician, to tell us how to do it or what to do. And if we really understood the essence of our power and how we're eternal beings and part of that spirit that's going to carry on for eternity, we would be able to manifest changes much easier. But we're undermined at every time we go. Every time you pick up the paper, it's be fearful, be hateful, be all these things that are very low vibration type
right.
energies. And we need to get to the love and compassion and higher things. And the only way to do that is to create our own future and not rely on somebody else to do it for us.
Absolutely. I mean, Rich and I have never talked about this, and I only have just almost finished reading his book now, but you've heard me say over and over again, love is the highest vibration. Fear, hatred, all of those negative emotions are the lowest vibration. The problem we have now on Earth is that there's too much low vibration energy, and that is dragging us down. And what's going on now is an attempt by people not in bodies at the highest levels to raise the consciousness of this planet. The work Rich is doing is an important part of that. I know so many people who are independently working, and when we come together, just as is happening today, we complete each other's sentences. This is all true. It's the truth. And that's the beauty of this work. That's why I wish I could hug you, Rich. You're too far away. I want to make sure people someday we will. I want to make sure people know how to reach you and know what your website is and where they can learn more.
Sure. I have sacredquantummetaphysics.com as the main website, and there's a lot. There's a free chapter of the book there. There's all kinds of resources. And one of the other things that I'm excited about is there's a free download, totally free, no email needed, anything. You go on the website, you can get this. It's about a 17-minute guided meditation, Awaken the Enlightened Master Inside You. And the whole purpose of that is for people to realize that someday they are going to be this enlightened being. That's our destiny. After we get through all the garbage we have to get through to live our lives as humans, eventually we'll get there. So the meditation helps people to get there quicker and faster instead of waiting many lifetimes. So it's there for anybody, and go and enjoy it. And there's other things on the website, too. You can get a hold of me. It's also meant to be a resource for future metaphysicians. And as you learn the techniques and you want to get together, and we talked about 8,000 people or how many thousand, I don't know, but if you're working on a particular project and you need some help and you want some other consciousness to help you, perhaps you want to turn pollution in our planet into fertilizer, and you all get together and work on that, then there's a place where you can join a metaphysical community on that website, too.
Oh, what a great resource. So these are targeted efforts to improve things and groups getting together and focusing their intention on certain things?
Absolutely. Everybody has their own particular hot button that they'd like to work on, and so that's what we're trying to do, is get people together and work on those things. It could be an individual happiness issue or whatever.
That's a wonderful, this is where it's going, everyone. We will be, within 2 or 3 years, we'll all be talking about raising our own consciousness and using that to make these changes in the world, which, frankly, the politicians never will do. Wars are absolutely counterproductive. But the beautiful thing is that with people like Rich doing this work, all of us are beginning to come together. Thank you, Rich. I've so enjoyed talking with you. We're going to have him back, and we're going to talk about using his principles to improve your life personally the next time. Meanwhile, thank you for sharing your day with us here. My dear friend, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really understand what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Dr. Jamie Turndorf, whose radio's Dr. Love. Jamie's husband was the prominent Jesuit scholar Jean Pain. After his death, she established a truly extraordinary relationship with him. She's always been an intuitive. She's a wonderful relationship counselor. And then, with Jean's help after his death, she developed techniques for dialoguing with and resolving our issues with our own dead loved ones. She's going to share those techniques with us next week. Jamie has been my Seek Reality guest several times, actually, always with Jean with her. She and Jean are always a hit, so don't forget to tune in next week. This week, our guest has been Rich Haas. His new book is Sacred Quantum Metaphysics. It's a terrific introduction to the physics that's going to dominate the second half of this century. And it's also a wonderful handbook for achieving your own best spiritual growth in this lifetime. Right from Dr. Gary Schwartz, this is who did his foreword, Dr. Schwartz. Dr. Gary Schwartz wrote a wonderful foreword right through Rich's explanations of the latest scientific discoveries, how you can use them, everything that's really going on now. His book is an up-to-the-minute way to happily, happily rock your world. You won't be the same after you read this. I really love this book, Sacred Quantum Metaphysics. It not only makes the physics easier for all of us to understand, but it shows you how you can use this knowledge in your own life. I think that's wonderful. Now, as you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, Flying High in Spirit, and the three fun books, The Fun of Dying, Staying in Touch, and Growing Forever. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for taking the time to seek reality with me and our wonderful guest, I realize that your time is precious. I hope that you get out of each week enough, at least as much as you put in. And I'd be happy to hear from you if you have suggestions, someone we should have on, or just anything that comes to mind. As you know, you can find recent episodes of Seek Reality on bbmglobalnetwork.com, and you can find episodes going back as far as 2013 available free as podcasts on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes, where there have been hundreds of thousands of downloads. I'm so thrilled about that. Those older episodes also are now being rebroadcast on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. So I'm hearing from people who just heard about someone or heard someone on an interview that I frankly had forgotten I ever interviewed. And it's exciting. They're loving these people. There are so many extraordinary, extraordinary experts in this field. Unsung, not looking for any kind of approval, not looking for anything except the joy of serving you. And most of them, many of them have been my guests. So there are 3 years now of podcasts. If you get bored and you'd like to hear more of what these people have to say, go to iTunes and just enjoy. And of course, if you ever lose track of where I'm broadcasting now, or if you just want to read my blog, please read my blog. I love writing it for you. And in fact, we just got a plug today from Rich. If you want to contact me, whatever you'd like to do, go to robertagrimes.com and let me help you. Please understand, I do read and I answer every email. If you don't hear within 24 hours, send flowers. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking, continuing what Rich and I talked about, and talking about the specific problem that we have with science. I'm an equal opportunity basher. I talked about God and how Christians have God wrong. Soon I'll talk about Jesus and how Christians have Jesus wrong, too. But if there's anybody who has stuff wrong, it's the traditional scientists working in the universities. And it's tragic, and it's causing a lot of the grief and problems in the world, and I'll be talking about it in a couple of weeks. But for now, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm grateful that you've listened. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.